Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Happy New Year. I think it's about the last time we can say it, but it's the first Sunday of the year. But I can say more than Happy New Year. I can say Happy New Decade. Crazy, huh? I wonder how many churches in America are going to be singing, Be Thou My Vision, because it is 2020. I promise you that is happening across America. We pastors are so clever. 2020 vision, wow. Here's my question. I'm taking seriously resolutions and goals for my life because I was very sloppy last year in a lot of ways, and I need to fix that. I was treating things so casually last year, not like peaceful and relaxed always, but just casually and sloppily. And this year, I've got goals, physical goals, intellectual goals, spiritual goals, relational goals, achievement kind of goals for myself. And I'm really excited about it. There, I've said it, so now I've got to come through on them, huh? But has it ever occurred to you to ask God what He wants for you this decade? What does God want for you this decade? Take just a minute and think how many years older you're going to be in the year 2030. As much as what God wants you for this decade, what does God want for you today? You know, that's our 2020 vision, isn't it? To finish this day clearly. You start, and I want for you to start, I want to start with living well. Living well, making healthy choices. I heard Dr. Laura say that. In the midst of everything going on, keep making healthy choices. How about this one? As you're thinking about what it means for you today and for this decade, start by loving God. It's awesome that you're here. There is something about the gathered church that people are starting to realize doesn't just happen when we treat it casually. Start by loving God, by loving people, by serving the world for Jesus Christ. Start strong. And if you do begin strong, you are potentially following in some of the footsteps of the greatest people in the story. You know, there's God's story, the upper story, that we broke because Adam and Eve didn't have a vision for the upper story, and the lower story was created, in which you and I live, and we miss out often on what God has in store for us via the upper story. But if you start strong this year, if you start strong today, this decade, you are potentially following in the footsteps of Solomon, one of the greatest people in the story, son of David, third king of Israel, the builder of the temple of God, the writer of wisdom. He starts so strong. Solomon pleases God because God comes to him and asks, "What would you like? I will grant you what you wish." God invites Solomon to ask for anything. And Solomon pleases God by asking for wisdom to reign as the king. Solomon asks for wisdom to rule with justice. Solomon's wisdom is so great, it's tested early on in his reign as king by two women who each had a baby 3 days apart. One of the babies dies, both little boys. And the woman, who was so devastated, traded her dead baby in the night with the other woman whose baby was still alive. And when the other woman woke up, she, of course, was terrified to see that her baby had died, but then realized it wasn't her baby. And so these two women come to King Solomon because they're saying, they're each laying claim on this living baby. Solomon says, how do I know? How can I administer justice and wisdom in this case? And then he says, and you may know this famous story, here's how you decide. Bring me a sword. Solomon says, I will cut the baby in two, and you each get half. Well, of course, at that moment, the mother of the baby says, no, she can have the baby. Don't do that to my child. And at that moment, Solomon knows which one of the women is the real mom of that baby. Amazing. Amazing wisdom. Everyone in the whole nation of Israel is amazed at their king. And the word gets out. The Queen of Sheba travels and brings all kinds of things just to listen to this wisdom of Solomon. God's grace enables us to overcome great obstacles. And Solomon had plenty to overcome. Solomon also records his wisdom in writing. And you know, it hit me. Some of us need to do a little more writing this year. You've got things that are your go-tos. You've got stories that are your treasures. Like Ed Coy said, his dad used to say, every time someone dies, especially an old person, it's like a library is burned to the ground. Won't you take time to write down some of your wisdom, your life stories? For Solomon, he wrote three books of Scripture. As a young man, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. As a middle-aged man, the Proverbs. He recorded these amazing Proverbs. They list out 3 pages worth of them in our book, The Story, which is the narrative of the Bible. And then as an old man, he writes Ecclesiastes out of his regrets. These are still read and quoted today, 3,000 years later. Think about that. And then Solomon, like we said, builds the temple of the living God for all God's people. He starts out so strong. So where did things end up? Let's look in 1 Kings 11:4. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of his father David had been. Solomon followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Now, just to give some cultural context, Ashtoreth was one of the many fertility goddesses in the region. Ashtoreth was viewed as a female goddess. Ashtoreth was viewed and worshipped by sex acts. And what all of this worship of Ashtoreth created was basically what we would call today sex trafficking. And Solomon is worshiping in this way. And then Molech, and the writer adds the word detestable god, because Molech was worshipped through child sacrifice. In Jerusalem itself, parents would sacrifice their children. Solomon begins his career restoring the life of a baby to his own mother. And he ends his career worshiping a god to whom children were sacrificed by their own parents. Scripture says the Lord became angry with Solomon because Solomon's heart was divided. Because Solomon's heart was divided, his kingdom, the people of God themselves, Israel, is divided at his death. How do you go from such a strong start to such a horrible ending? How does someone who pledges their life right here, we've done plenty of them, in a marriage, end that marriage sometimes with screaming and yelling and hurting and hitting? What happened? How do you get from such a strong start to there? Baby steps. Decision after decision after decision. Sometimes believing lies that we have no business believing. Treating things a bit too casually. Being sloppy about what's true, about what's important, bit by bit by bit. So I want to look as we begin this year and we begin strong, how to mess up our lives in 2020. Some of you are saying, I don't need to hear this. I wrote the book. How to mess up your life in 2020? First, leave a little wiggle room in your commitment. Just a little bit. You know, there is a story of a man who had a dream to build a home. And he built his home beautifully. And he spent everything he had on it. But because he spent everything he had on it, he could only live in it 1 month and then he had to sell it. But then he had an idea. And he found a buyer for his home. And he said, I would like to sell you my house, but I would like to leave one nail on the front porch. Because I just love this. This is my dream home. And the man who was buying the house said, sure, I'll leave you that one nail. And so about once every 2 weeks, he would come and he would just hang his hat on that nail because it was his. And he just longed and ached for that house. He longed for it so much so that one day when he was walking along the road and he saw a dead donkey, he had an idea. And he picked up the dead donkey and he dragged it to his house that he doesn't own anymore, except for the one little nail, and he hung the dead donkey on the nail. And the guy who owned the house thought, oh, gee, that's not really very kosher. But he said, well, but it's not my nail. So he let it go. But after a couple weeks, the donkey stank so much that the man moved out of the house that he had just bought, and the other guy moved back in. That's how it works when you withhold a little wiggle room. Look at 1 Kings 3:3. It's a fascinating story. If you want to read Solomon's story straight from Scripture, it's 1 Kings is where it begins, with the death of David and then Solomon. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. Now, that's what a lot of people did in those days. But there's one word in that sentence that changed everything. What's the word? Except. Yeah. After the word except, it doesn't matter what you say. There's no such thing as partial commitment. The high places were always associated with the pagan idolatry. And rather than just saying, don't go there, and removing them, Solomon complicates it by saying, I have good intentions. We'll worship God up there in those places. But it's not intentions that determine your future. It's direction. I can have all the best intentions to be walking that way. My intention is to walk that way. But intentions don't count for anything. What counts is taking the step in the direction you wish to go. We'll worship God there, is what he said. It's not intentions that determine your future. It's the actual direction. What you do that determines where you end up. You have the opportunity to do some things when you go home today after worshiping God, for which I commend you on this first Sunday of the decade. What you do determines where you end up. Solomon gets it almost right. But it only ever opens the door for more wiggling. When you begin with an exception clause, you'll never arrive at full devotion. 95% is 5% short, because it's the 5% that will determine everything else, isn't it? Haven't you met people who never, ever quite commit? It's pretty frustrating to try to work with them, to build a relationship with them, to do a project with them. When it comes to giving your life to Jesus, either he is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Let me say that again. When it comes to giving your life to Jesus, either he is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Did you ever go to a doctor? And has anyone ever said to you, you know, our equipment is 95% sterilized. Let's do that lower GI. Don't leave wiggle room in your life. Instead, take the risk to offer over all to the Lord, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and let him have it all in 2020. A second way to mess up your life in 2020 is assume you're an exception to the rule. Yes, I can keep up this pace because I'm a high-energy person. I said that for decades, and then it hit. Let's face it, rules are good for everybody else. But anything less than total obedience, it means that you are the one who gets to choose what you're going to submit to and what you're not. Because I'm an exception, right? Look again, 1 Kings 3:3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except the except becomes an exception. Let's face it, everyone within my sight right now is above average. I know it. You are exceptions to the rule, every one of you. All the kids in all our schools are above average. Right? Every kid in every school, every person in our sight. How could it be otherwise, right? We think we're exceptional. If you've ever read Deuteronomy 17, written in the story 500 years earlier, here's how Moses restates the law if Israel were to ever get a king. In chapter 17, starting in verse 16, the king, moreover, must not acquire great numbers of horses for himself. He must not take many wives, or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver and gold, and not consider himself better than his brothers and turn from the law. And here's Solomon. Generally, that's good counsel, but not for me. I've got wisdom from God. Solomon had 12,000 horses. From where? From Egypt, their oppressors. He marries 700 royal and 300 non-royal foreign wives. He has silver and gold so much so that silver is just commonplace and thrown everywhere. He has so much gold that his gold, according to what's written in Scripture, would equal over $1 billion in American dollars today. What happened? Greed takes over from blessings. Greed takes over from blessings. God blesses you, and he does, and it's abundant, and we are exceptionally blessed. And we know it's from God, but we say, I want more. Just that thing more. And we are in a society of more. Greed takes over from blessing. Never underestimate your capacity for self-deception. Because the way to mess up your life is to assume you're the exception to the rule. It's why our mandate here is, our goal is that everyone belongs to someone. Everybody belongs to somebody. So that someone could come alongside you when you're feeling that kind of exceptional. A third way of how to mess up your life in 2020, based on what we see in Solomon's life, is to fail to deal with your predisposed weaknesses. For Solomon, he loved these women. The ones from other nations, the one who happened to worship other gods, with whom he went down some very dark paths. He never started out intending to do that. He was operating out of love for these women. But 1 Kings 11:2 says this, you must not intermarry with them. God comes to Solomon and says this, because they'll surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. Nevertheless, you know people who are held fast in love, for whom sin has such a hold on them that they can't help themselves because they're so in love with what their thing is. The first step of healing from addiction is admitting that we're powerless over whatever it is. I'm self-destructing, yes. Nevertheless, I'm going to do it anyway. Even Solomon, who had God-given wisdom, said, nevertheless, I will love that way. I will love who I love. I will love what I love. I will love my status. I will love what the next thing is that I don't have. Think of Solomon's influences when it comes to this particular thing. His dad was David, his mom was Bathsheba. We underestimate the power of families of origin. Solomon revered his dad, but never realized the depth of his influence over him. Because David had many wives. Peter Scazzaro says it this way, Jesus may be in your heart when you come to faith in Christ. Jesus may be in your heart, but grandpa's in your bones. You get it? Have you seen it? Parents, if we're honest, do you have any idea the influence that you have on your children? Your habits, your outlooks, your strengths and your weaknesses. You think they don't know what's going on with you. You really think that we're fooling them? My question, what am I passing on to my kids? Are you aware of your predispositions? Are you taking steps so you don't fall like Solomon, starting out so strong and ending so darkly? Maybe it's time to call a Christian counselor so that you can face that stuff, so that you can move forward and not downward. A fourth way of how to mess up your life in 2020 is to ignore or silence the truth tellers in your life. Some of you have no one in your life. You know, we keep starting more and more men's groups because studies show, and I've experienced, men are more isolated just by nature than women. And we have more and more small groups of women, of men, of couples. We have a 20-something group that's growing. We have over 20 regulars in our 20-something group on Sunday nights. But some of you have no one, and this is a very good place to be. This is a very good place to launch into your day, year, decade. In 1 Kings 9, God himself appears to Solomon, just as in Gibeon, when he asked Solomon what he wanted, and Solomon asked for wisdom. But this time, it's a warning. He says, if you walk before me with integrity, I'll continue to bless you. But look at verse 6. But if you turn away from me and don't observe the commands I've given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut you off. You know, the best way to move ahead when you're on the wrong path isn't to keep moving ahead and hope the path changes. The best way to move ahead when you're on the wrong path is what? To walk backwards, to turn around, to go back to the spot where there was an intersection and you made the wrong choice. The best way ahead when you're on the wrong path is to go back to the spot where you made the wrong choice. Going on simply doesn't work. Your first step forward may be backwards. That's where the blessings will be found, is what God seems to be saying to Solomon here. Then later, God also sends Jeroboam and Ahijah. I practiced that name. Jeroboam and Ahijah. Ahijah tore a cloak into 12 pieces to show what Solomon was doing to the nation of Israel. And Solomon, instead of waking up to this sign that these people are calling him to by telling the truth, Solomon doesn't wake up, he tries to kill him. That's the difference between David, who had a heart for God, even with all of his fallings, and Solomon. When David was confronted by the prophet Nathan, he fell on his face and he cried, "Cleanse me, O God." Solomon, when he was confronted, tried to kill these truth tellers. You need people who tell you the hard truth in love. Jesus was full of grace and truth. Some of us love the grace so much we don't want to say the hard part. We just want to love. But Jesus was full of grace and truth, not grace or truth. As we look at Solomon's life, if you're like me, you see your own life. Things I got into, I never started out getting into. Things that it's time to be done with. And Solomon had it all. He was so greatly admired, people traveled thousands of miles back in those days to come and sit at his feet. But he ruined his life with wiggle room. Silly little things. He messed up his life, assuming he was an exception to the rule. He messed up his life failing to deal with his predisposed weakness. And he messed up his life trying to silence the truth tellers. Do you have a heart that's open and soft to corrective words? Is your surrender a total deal, or is it a partial commitment? Are you taking liberties? Are you holding back? Is there any stuff from your past that has an unhealthy impact on your present? And if so, are you ready to offer it up in confession, to offer it up in an opportunity of counseling? Are you ready to start strong in 2020 and beyond? And more importantly, are you ready to do the hard work to finish strong in 2020 and 2030 and beyond? Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for our time. Thank you, Father, for the powerful lessons from your story. Thank you, Lord God, that even when our lower story is so messed up, you find a way. And your story is never broken. But Lord, we are so vulnerable and so flawed, and you have invited us into your story. So Lord, we say, I surrender. Not 95%, but I surrender all, like the song says. And Lord, we celebrate those of us who are moving in this direction of surrendering to you. God, we commit to keep moving in your direction. And Lord, thank you that your story is so complete. We see how the world thought Jesus was ending in weakness before his resurrection. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over all creation. The very one who gave himself up for us, who surrendered himself, who offered himself to you for our sin, for our salvation, is who we worship today and who we follow. Thank you, God, for strong endings. And we offer ours up to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.